Welcome everybody to the first episode of Anime Union, where we will be watching Is This a Zombie for the month of October. It's an anime I would highly recommend. I'm sure Jacob here would hopefully agree with that. You know, it's funny, has some decent action in it. Sometimes some fights just randomly happen and it's craziness. But, you know, we're going to go through it. We're going to watch it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to see what we can point out for it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Is that a... Did you have that, like, written down and scripted?
No, I just scripted the welcome everybody to the first episode. That was it. Oh. Nothing else.
All right, so...
So, episode one. You said that we both have the Sailor Moon thing written down.
Yeah, so episode one... Title is Yes, I'm a Magical Garment Girl. So basically, we both had the Sailor Moon thing written down because if people are familiar with Sailor Moon and when she transforms, you get that same kind of vibe from Is This a Zombie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Basically, what happens in the first episode is Ayumu, who is the main protagonist, steals Haruna's powers, and originally she's a magical garment girl.
Yeah.
And the animation for his transformation is pretty spot on with Sailor Moon.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Honestly, I think what stuck out to me kind of the animation style, you know, it's very 90s, right? Even though it wasn't in an anime made in the 90s.
Yeah, I'd say 90s, maybe early 2000s.
It came out in 2011.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's what it kind of reminded me of. And yeah, the outfit and all that. Yeah, definitely, definitely Sailor Moon-esque.
Yeah, which, I don't know, that kind of surprised me a little bit just because it's a unique anime, right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing that's really similar that I've watched. I don't know about you. Obviously, I watch dubs, you watch subs, so you have a lot more variety as far as what you can watch, but I haven't seen anything. It's quite like Is This a Zombie?
I would agree. I really haven't seen anything else like it either. It's got that weird, like, serious tone to it, and then all of a sudden it's just, they throw random goofy stuff at you.
Yeah.
And I honestly haven't seen anything like that. I'm trying to think of any animes that I might have seen that have something similar to it, but aren't exactly the same, but nothing comes to mind. One thing that kind of stuck out to me, like at the very beginning where Ayumu goes to save that cat, wouldn't a zombie still get like shredded up by getting hit by that truck?
So you would think so, but...
Like, okay...
He goes on later in that episode to explain that. So a typical human doesn't use 100% of their body's capabilities.
Yeah.
Him being a zombie, he can use 100% and even sometimes 120%. So maybe in that moment, he knew he was going to make impact with that truck.
So he just makes himself stronger.
Yeah, so he used more than 100%. Of his body's capabilities to protect himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, also being an anime, they have to somehow get him naked, right? Have him lose all his dignity right away.
You are right with that, especially since this is more of a fan service type.
Oh, definitely.
Anime.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something for little kids. You know, it's tailored more for probably teenagers and adults.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. One thing I noticed on that episode, when he gets home and he falls to the ground and his bag hits the ground right next to him. On his bag, I'm sure it's the same in the dub and sub versions, but on his bag, the word Niku is written on it, which means meat. Why does he have meat written on his bag? Like, I cannot for the life of me figure out why.
That is a good question. I didn't catch that on my rewatch, but yeah, that is a little strange. Maybe it's because he thinks of himself as just meat because he's a zombie. Possibly.
Yeah, that I could see that working. Could definitely see that working.
Yeah. So how did you feel about the, I'm going to call him the creepy old guy for now, not to spoil anything for when we do this recap, but what kind of vibes were you getting from that creepy old guy that kind of was stalking Ayumu and Haruna?
So I actually wrote something about that. Where is it? So it's at the 16-minute mark, 16:37, somewhere around there. I wrote down, it looks like this guy is doing something else while he's peeking through that door.
Yeah, he
I
was.
don't know. I don't know if the dub is different, but when I watched it, all I heard was.
Yep, that's pretty similar to the dove. Presses his face up against the classroom door and kind of, he's just asking or acting real creepy.
Yeah, no, what was it? When I started to rewatch this, like I started trying to remember it from the first time I had watched it. And the very first time I saw that episode and saw that part, I was like, oh wait, I was like, that's the killer. He came back for him. Yeah, I was way off.
See,
I did not know it was a little crawfish.
that's what I thought too. I was like, oh yeah, this is like the main bad guy, and then nope. But all right, so just a little recap on that episode, just so people kind of know what we're talking about. Basically, Ayumu, the main protagonist, is a zombie. Euclewood Hellscythe brought him back to life after he died from a serial killer attack. And so Ayumu's like main goal right now is to try to figure out who the serial killer is. So he goes out and he's trying to search for this serial killer, and he ended up at a graveyard. And that's where he meets Haruna, and she's fighting a megalo grizzly. So she's fighting this grizzly, and Ayumu happens to get in her way, and she kind of throws an attack at him, and he takes it a little personally.
How did he drain her of her power?
So I don't think
I couldn't understand.
I don't think it ever elaborated on that. I think it kind of just happened.
Yeah.
At least in this episode.
I don't know if you caught this, but when I saw it and I saw that graveyard scene, if you look at Haruna's arms while she's holding that chainsaw, it looks like her arms are broken.
Well, it's a heavy chainsaw, man, and she's just a little girl.
Yeah, that elbow is bent out the opposite way.
She's just a little magical garment girl. She's a self-proclaimed genius, but we'll get into that a little later.
I really liked when she chops him in half and all that, and he's trying to, tell her he's a zombie, this and that, how she's telling him, oh, you got in the way, you're a sacrifice, you know, you just have to deal with it. You know, it's okay. You just deal with it. And I don't know what they say in the dub, but in the sub, she says, the lay person can't understand how geniuses feel.
So they don't say that in the English dub. It's more tailored for an English viewer. The translation is the same. It's just phonetically, it makes more sense in English.
So what do they say? Do you remember?
Not exactly. I just know they don't say that. Because I probably would have caught that and thought that was weird that they said it that way.
Yeah, no, like I said, I saw that. I was like, huh, like that's interesting. She's from what I saw in the first episode, Ayumi just can't catch a break, regardless of what might be happening or with who it's happening.
Right.
Right. I don't want to say too much, right? You don't want to spoil farther down or anything like that. But yeah, like Haruna chops him in half and she just pretty much disses him on the spot when he gets home, right? And Euclid is waiting for him instead of, you know, welcoming him and all that. She tells him he's, you know, she's hungry. And what does it say for you on her cards when she's showing it to him?
Yeah, basically, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but
yeah,
I think the first one, it said, like, I'm hungry, and then I don't remember if that's when Ayumu has his little fantasy about her.
Yep. The anime trope of the big brother fantasy.
Yeah. So he has his little fantasy, and then I think she just writes down, like, to start cooking or something of that nature.
There was one card that stuck out to me, and pretty much she tells him, you know, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be here.
Yep.
Like I said, this guy just can't catch a break at all.
He can't. Anyway, back to the recap. So Haruna was fighting that grizzly. Obviously, we already talked about her chopping him in half. So after that fight, Haruna basically loses all her clothes. And that's where we find out that Ayumu has stole Haruna's powers as a magical garment girl. And after that, that's when he returns home. And then the next day, he's at school. And school ends, but since he's a zombie, he can't leave right away because sunlight basically dries up zombies.
Which, and I don't know. I didn't know that. I guess if you want to escape zombies, wait till it's morning?
In this world, yes. So he's waiting in class, and that's when this creepy old guy like presses his face up against the classroom door, and he's super creepy. You'll have to watch it to understand what we're talking about here, but so he barges in and is basically trying to pick a fight with Ayumu, and then Haruna shows up and she basically tells Ayumu that this guy is actually a megalo, and not just a megalo, he's a double A class megalo named Zari. And he's a giant crawfish. So he went from creepy old guy to creepy crawfish monster. And then Ayumu Well, first Haruna tries to fight him, but obviously, since her powers have been taken away, Ayumu ends up having to fight, and this is where we discover that Ayumu is, in fact, a magical garment girl now. So he transforms into a magical garment girl and starts fighting this Megalo. And as he's defeating it, he actually busts through a classroom window and lands in front of the whole student body of his school. And now everyone at school thinks he's some sort of cosplaying tranny weirdo. And that was pretty much the end of the first episode.
Yeah, pretty spot on. I would say that's a good recap to that first episode. One thing, did you catch what did that creepy crawfish spew out to censor Haruna's nudity? Was it a mist? Was it a fog?
I would probably think it was a mist, but I also might have been taking notes at that time.
There was another part that I don't know if you watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Not really. I'm familiar, but I
Okay.
haven't
Well,
watched.
there's like a really famous episode where they do a play, and one of the characters is singing a song, and the song says you have to pay the troll toll to get this boy's soul, but the way he says it. It sounds like he's saying you have to pay the troll toll to get this boy's hole. So there was a scene on here where that creepy guy tells Ayumu, he's like, never mind putting that underwear aside. And right away, that episode just popped into my head.
So I think that is a little bit different than the English dub. Because the English dub, he says something like, I want that boy bottom or something. Yeah. So little bit different, but
Yeah,
same
a
message.
little more direct, I guess.
Yeah. So, how did you feel about the first episode? Is it something you'd recommend to friends or?
I would recommend it, but I would definitely tell them to kind of strap in because it takes you everywhere. Right? Because I mean,
Yeah.
they don't explain how Ayumu became a zombie in the first episode, right? They give you like little bits and pieces, but they don't really say
Right, they kind
what
of
happened.
hint at it.
Yeah.
Well, in the beginning, you kind of get that because I think she wrote on one of her cards that if you weren't a zombie, you'd be dead, I think is what it said.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we were talking about a little while ago, where it's when they're sitting at the dinner table and he has that fantasy of her, and then she kind of just disrupts his fantasy and all that. Not only that, but what would be your guess to how old Haruna is in this series?
Too
Yeah,
young.
little kid?
Too young.
Teen?
I would say like middle school age, probably like 12 to 15.
So yeah, by the character design, that's what it makes you think of, right? Just yeah,
Right.
a middle school kid or something like that.
Right.
The fact that she loses her clothes in a graveyard in front of a zombie who's cut in half, if you aren't ready for it, that's a little much.
That is a little much, but that is kind of typical anime with the whole
I would agree.
younger scene as far as fan service goes. Because I mean, you look at fan service animes, and I mean, mostly all of them are in high school.
Yeah, I
You
mean,
know?
technically that is somewhat the target audience they're trying to reach, but of course you get dudes that are way older watching it, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I understand, you know, yeah, that's that fan service. And, you know, one thing that kind of stood out to me is like when they get back to his house after they leave the graveyard scene, she's just sitting there in a shirt. Like, where did this shirt come from?
That is a good question. She is a magical garment girl, though, so maybe she had just had enough power to procure a single shirt. Just one single shirt.
Just to cover herself enough.
Just enough.
What about you? Would you recommend this to friends, to other people? What would be your, if you do recommend it, what would be your warning for them to kind of get them ready for it?
I would recommend it. You know, it's a unique anime. If you like zombies, it's got zombies. If you like magical garment girls, it's got magical garment girls. Which even, because I'm not a magical girl person.
And okay, good. I'm glad you continued that thought there.
I enjoy it, even though it kind of takes a twist on it, making a male protagonist a magical garment girl. But yeah, I would tell them to kind of just strap in, be ready for like sexual innuendos, and
there are so many.
Some fan service scenes. Yeah. Entertaining, though. It is an entertaining anime.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, you know, there's random fights, there's some comedy, and just enough perversion to remind you what you're watching.
Yeah. So, as far as dub and sub go, I know dub, Ayumu's, his inner monologue is very monotony. But when he talks normally, he sounds like any other anime character, which I found kind of interesting, that his inner monologue would kind of be this dull, boring, monotone voice, mine. But
well, here's a little something for you. And the last thing I'm going to say on this one might get you, might make you think about a little something. So the voice of Ayumu, this guy has voiced characters in Dead Man Wonderland, High School DxD, Attack on Titan, Tokyo Ghoul, Dragon Ball Super, and the very last one, which I'm hoping we will touch at some point on this podcast, Domestic Girlfriend.
I can recommend that one. That one is funny.
So
really strap him for that one, though, if you do dabble into it.
Yeah, really, really strap into it.
All right. So that pretty much covers the first episode.
Give us a recap on episode 2.
Okay, so episode 2, it's a vampire ninja. We are introduced to a new character called Seraphine, and she's a vampire ninja. And her favorite attack move is the swallow return strike.
Yep.
So Haruna, Yu, and Ayumu are all at dinner, and it's just a casual dinner. They're eating rice, you know, typical anime stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And Haruna and Yu are asking for seconds. And then Ayumu says, basically, I'll get you whatever you want. And you hear a new voice saying, in that case, how about miso soup? And this turns out to be our new character, Seraphine, which no one at the dinner table knows who this is. Okay.
Yeah, I just love the casualness of how she just demands food.
She just shows up uninvited asking for food. But Seraphine is basically trying to become Yu's servant at first and take her back to her village. And Yu tells Ayumu to get rid of her, which leads to another fight in a graveyard.
Well, of course. I mean, Ayumu needs to take her to his home turf.
I mean, that's where he's most comfortable, is a graveyard.
Exactly.
So, Ayumu and Seraphine start fighting. She hits him with some swallow return strikes, which obviously don't do anything because he's a zombie and can't die.
Let me intervene really quickly. Where if you are not like me, or I guess like me, you will then learn that he can raise his power level. Like I said, I didn't catch that in the first episode. The second episode was like, oh, I was like, he can raise his power level and his toughness so he can hit a little harder. Cool. So, yeah.
So I think he what was it? Like 200%, I think is what he uses?
I think it was 200 or 250%. One or the other.
So one of those he uses as Seraphine stabbing him through the gut. And he grabs onto her sword and basically says, it's hard to use a swallow return strike when you can't use your sword. And then he headbutts her.
Mm-hmm.
She goes flying. He's like, okay, I won. I basically knocked her out. Then she throws a ninja star at his head, hits him in the head. And
then the way
she basically tells him that he won the fight.
The way he got hit and fell.
Yeah, that was good.
Hilarious.
So Seraphine basically says, okay, you won, I'll return home. And he's like, okay, good, I got rid of her. So Haruna and Ayumu go back to his house, open up the front door, and lo and behold, who is there? Seraphine. And he's basically like, well, what the heck are you doing here? I thought you were going home. And she's like, no. You know, the sacred duty of a ninja is to always fulfill your mission. And her mission is to get you back to her village. And then I'm pretty sure she said take her back to the underworld.
I don't remember. I do remember her saying that her mission or her duty as a ninja was to complete the mission no matter what. I don't remember about her saying she's going to take her to the underworld or not. So that one, if they did say that, it got past me.
I might have been imagining things too, but that's neither here nor there. So with Seraphine now there, she's basically saying, well, if I can't be Yu's servant, then I'll become Ayumu's servant.
Oh, God.
And that leads to a whole thing.
Yeah.
Basically, Seraphine thinks he's like a maggot and just this disgusting guy, a pervert.
Like, come on, though. You bust into their house, you take their food, you make this guy cook for you, and then you're still putting him down.
Always. Always putting him down.
Always. I guess the role of the male protagonist, right? To just get cut down every single time.
Yeah, at least in harems, harem-esque animes, sometimes. So from there, we actually have a flashback where Ayumu and Yu meet for the first time at a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
And this is funny. So Ayumu's
I think you
first
have some
opening
random
line.
coronas.
Ayumu's first opening line to you is, "Do you like UFOs?" Like, who would go up to someone for the first time and be like, "Do you like UFOs?" That's the first thing you say to them.
You never use the UFO pickup line? Dude, it
No.
works like 80% of the time.
Well, that might be why you're married and I'm single.
Exactly. It works 80% of the time. You just go and say, hey, you believe in UFOs? You
I might have to start using that.
should try it.
Huh. Well, so after his pickup line, Aimu then believes, oh, what a great time to show her how good of a breakdancer I am. So he busts into this breakdance and ends up breaking his arm or spraining his wrist or something and falls to the ground.
Was
And then they just.
breakdancing supposed to be what they thought Western old school breakdancing is? Because the way he starts with this, hey, 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 yo, 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 I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was pretty good, man. He's a better dancer than I am.
Oh, I think he's a better dancer than most of us.
You know, he is throwing down some moves. But so after that, they have just a general conversation, you know, typical first time meeting. Of course,
yeah.
Yu is still riding on our cars, which we haven't really discussed. So Yu doesn't talk.
Yeah.
And we'll find out later why in
Yeah,
the series.
That's something that, yeah, has to be saved for
But
later.
Right now, all we can say is Yu doesn't talk. She communicates by writing down on cards. So they have their conversation. He offers to take her home. She politely declines. And he basically leaves. She says, take care. And as Ayumu is walking down the street, he hears a woman screaming. And he remembers the posts about the serial killer.
Yep.
And rushes in to help this lady.
And that's when he has a flashback, right? Of
well,
what
this
happened
is
to him, or
this is still part of the flashback.
Okay, yeah.
So he rushes in, sees blood all across the stair wall, and he's basically thinking, what am I going to do when I find this woman? Or better yet, what am I going to do if I run into the serial killer? And then he freezes and can't move. And the next thing he knows, he's getting stabbed through the back and is now dead.
Let me put something in your head really quickly. And there's something we're going to cover in a little bit, but the scream he hears, is that related to the person coming up on episode 3?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it ever goes into detail about that.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Because I was thinking about that today when I was rewatching it, and episode 3, you know, we won't say anything about it until we get there, but it made me think, is that related to that? You know, because, well, yeah, I'll leave it there. I'll just leave it at, is it related? Because I think if I try to go into it, I'm going to spoil some of it. So
yeah,
we'll wait for that one right now in a bit.
Right. So Ayumu gets stabbed through the back. He's dead. Or so he thinks he's dead. Yu is actually a necromancer and brings him back to life. So technically he's dead, but he's alive, is basically how Yu puts it.
Yeah.
And then we flash back to the present, and they're at the dinner table again, and Haruno basically tells Ayumu to drop dead, which really sets you off. And she writes on her little card that saying words shouldn't be taken lightly. And Ayumu basically tries to tell you she was just joking, she wasn't serious about it. And then later, Haruno references him dying again, and Yu ends up slapping her across the face. So here, we basically find out that words must have an important meaning to you.
Yeah.
And if you stick with the series, you'll find out why. But that's like your first taste of, okay, she's serious
Something,
about the
yeah.
words that are spoken. And
Go,
that's
go, go.
pretty much a recap of the second episode. So
You know,
what were your thoughts on it?
at the end of the episode, when Haruna's telling Ayumu to die, and Yu just reaches over and smacks her. I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if it's my mentality or what, but all I could think about was, man, why didn't Haruna have Yu's money? She showed her that pimp hand was strong. Kind of going back to like the beginning of the episode and all that. There's something I think you skipped over. This is the first time we see Ayumu eat. Or, does he eat in episode one? Do we see him eat?
Yes,
Okay.
I believe,
All right, so
because Haruna makes him eggs in
those
the
were,
first episode, I think.
I thought that was episode two.
Is that this episode?
Yeah, because first episode is when he barely meets her.
Right.
So yeah, she makes him those omelets. He eats it. They're like amazingly delicious. And that kind of made me think, is there anything that you have eaten that kind of would represent something close to this deliciousness that you're like, holy, oh man, this is so good.
You know, maybe. To the extent they felt, if I was in Food Wars, I would say yes. But I haven't eaten anything that has made me feel quite as good as they felt. I have eaten good food, but nothing that good.
Nothing that good. Okay, that's fair. But so her making him these rolled omelets and all that. Looking at him, I was like, man, I was like, why does anime food always look so good? Even if it was something so simple as eggs.
Yeah,
Dude, it's
it
like,
does. They were sparkling.
yeah, they're glowy. It's
They
just,
had a little jiggle to them,
oh, dude.
you know?
You always want eggs with jiggle. Always.
Although I don't know that you'd want as much eggs as she gave him.
Yeah,
So, I mean, she
that
gave him a
might
bento box full of eggs,
be a
and his
little much.
soup
Two
container
layers of
was eggs.
eggs. Yep.
All he had was eggs.
I like how when he gets home and she asks him if he liked it, he says, of course, yes, he did. But then he also says, next time, can you throw in some rice? And she just gets mad at him, like he insulted her food and is like, hey, stop being a jerk. I made you eggs.
So is that all they say in the sub?
When he gets home, yes.
So in the dub, after he says that, and she says, I think she says, like, be grateful that I made you anything or something, then he tells her, a man can't grow on eggs alone. And to, like, throw in, oh, you said throw in rice, didn't you?
Yeah, but I don't
Yeah.
remember seeing anything about a man can't grow. That's interesting.
So a little difference there between sub lovers and dub lovers.
Yeah, little differences here and there. go into that graveyard fight between Seraphine and Ayumu. I'm sure no context behind this, but I'm sure you notice when she goes in the air for her eight slash strike, that nice little close-up they give you of her cleavage before she attacks.
I mean, they have to. It's a
Yeah,
fan
it's fan
service.
service, right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking myself. I was like, they have to give you some cleavage. They have to.
I mean, the fact that they named her attack the Swallow Return Strike, that in itself.
Yeah, it's fan service at its best.
It is.
But now, kind of similar to that first episode where we see Haruna eating with them and she's just in her one shirt. Does she still not have clothes? Because in this episode, when they get back and are eating, she's again in that one shirt.
Yeah, that is a good question. I think those just might be her pajamas at this point. Because during the day, you see her in other kinds of clothes, and she's fully clothed, at least pretty much. I mean, short shorts. But I'm pretty sure she has access to clothes now. She's just trying to put the moves on Ayumu.
I guess. Let me see. Anything else that we didn't cover already on this second episode? I guess it's because of it's an anime. And this is how they're moving the story along. This is how they're going to tell you how Ayumu dies. But like seriously, you come up on a house and you hear screams, and your first thought is, "Oh, let me go investigate this."
Unarmed.
Yeah, exactly. Unarmed. I'm just a teenage boy from what we can notice of Ayumu. He goes in unarmed, gets caught off guard. Freezes in place and dies. Like, I don't know. If it's me, if I hear a scream, I'm probably backing away for a second, hiding behind something, being scared, and then walking the other way to somewhere more populated or more well lit.
For me, oh, this might piss off some viewers, but for me, it would depend if I'm armed or not at the time. So,
On. I thought you were always carrying.
no. Yeah, for me, it would depend if I'm armed or unarmed, but if I was armed, I would definitely go try to help.
So let's put viewers in this scenario. You're armed, right? You hear the screams, you go into this house. But what happens if you freeze like Ayumu did? Because it seemed like, from what he says, he can't move. Is he
I
just
mean,
frozen in fear, or did now this is something I'm gonna throw out there. Maybe it'll make some people think, maybe it won't, I don't know. But is this killer, does he have abilities? Is he something special? Does he freeze people in place? What is, what happened to him? Why the freeze?
that is a good question. And hopefully the series will answer that later on
I'm
once we
sure
find
you
out the identity of this serial killer.
Which I'm almost positive now I know who it is, but not gonna say anything. Don't want to spoil it.
You might know who it is, you might not.
Yeah,
I don't know. But I mean, if I was put in that place and the worst that would happen to me is I become a zombie, you know.
Oh, dude, I'm taking that deal any day.
Yeah.
So, what? One other question: if he's a zombie, why does he still have blood?
That's probably a question for a professional, like a doctor, to figure out.
let's bring in a doctor and ask him, "Hey, So if you become a zombie, why do you still have blood?
We should get a doctor on the show and ask.
Yeah, I think that's
that would be
something
a great, great
Hey,
question to ask.
I'm sorry to take you away from doing surgery, but here's a question for you on this anime.
Professional.
We need a professional's opinion on this.
Yeah. Did anything else stick out to you in episode two?
Other than his hilarious breakdancing, Haruna still only wearing one t-shirt, and the fan service that they give you in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was mainly about it that stuck out to me. I don't know if there's something else that stuck out to you.
Not in that episode in particular, but we did miss something that is kind of, it'll become more important later on in the series. So with the magical garment girl thing, Haruna has a chainsaw and it's named Mistletane.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. It's a magical chainsaw. And basically, whenever you become a magical garment girl, at least to my knowledge, you have to be in possession of this chainsaw. From what I've caught on so far in
Maybe.
My rewatch. And it's been a long time since I've watched this.
So yeah, it's been a minute.
It's kind of like watching it new for the first time again.
So there, right now that you said that, actually that stood out to me in episode one, but there was something else that stood out to me kind of at the end when he busts out the window and he's running through the crowd. So when he jumps out the window to go attack that crawfish, they spent a good, and I counted, a good 7 seconds on his striped panties.
A little weird you'd be staring at another dude's panties, but...
Dude, come on, they put it up on the screen for 7 seconds. How did you miss 7 seconds worth of a dude's rear end?
Taking notes.
Yo, that scene just came out. Up. Let me look down the mirror, start writing.
Yep. Meanwhile, you were over there licking your lips and I wish it was 23 minutes of this.
Give me a whole episode of just his rear end in the air.
Yep. So I think that basically covers the first two episodes, yes?
Yeah, I would agree with this. Yes, that has covered the first two episodes.
Okay,
what do you got
so...
for episode three?
Our third and final episode for this podcast, episode three, the title was Yes, Hair and Pigtails. And we'll find out why later.
Yep.
So our new character that was introduced in this episode is Kyoko, which she becomes, I would say, not a main character, but a significant character to the development of the plot. So this episode starts off with Haruna has a nightmare and she's fighting Megalos. She defeats...
Do you remember what they were? Because I think the first one was a bear again.
Okay, so it's the grizzly and the crawfish again. Okay. She defeats them, and then a third new Megalo shows up. And I'm sure you know what this new Megalo is.
Yeah. And I have some notes about him, too, and what's happening. But go ahead and do your recap on it, and then we'll come back to it.
Okay, so this third Megalo is a pudding. And she tries cutting it in half. It's not working. And then it kind of flashes out of her dream. The alarm goes off. She's not waking up. She hits the snooze and the alarm. So the alarm's like a little chicken that squeaks. So once she hits snooze, the little chicken like inflates to, I mean, to me, it just looked like a giant chicken. And then it fell down and pecked her on the head. And then they basically went into the openings or the,
The theme song,
yeah, the opening theme.
which, what is the opening theme in the dub? I'm sure it's the exact same, and I'm just thinking it's new.
You would have to say the name, and I'd probably be able to remember it. But, oh, what is
No,
it?
no. My bad, my bad. What I meant is it the actual Japanese
Yes.
opening? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because,
Yeah,
like I said,
typically,
I'm sure it is the same, but I wasn't 100%.
dubs will keep the same openings and endings as the original Japanese. Unless you get something like, I think it was Dragon Ball Z was the first ones that changed it, to my knowledge. Because they had the original and then they changed it to
I
Rock
don't.
the Dragon.
Oh yeah, I remember that. But that was in yeah, that was in Dragon Ball Z. I was gonna say that was because the way I remember Dragon Ball Z, and I know we're kind of getting a little off topic, but the way I remember it was they always sang the Chala Head Chala song.
Yeah, I don't. So I, yeah, this is way off topic, but when I started watching Dragon Ball Z, it was when it was on Toonami. So it was already dubbed over, and they were using the dub theme song.
And that's what I was gonna say too, is I started Dragon Ball Z a little bit before that, but when I don't know when they put it on Toonami or when it came to Toonami, but when they did, yeah, that's when I remember the Rock the Dragon theme song.
Yeah. But back on track. So opening and ending is usually the same.
Okay.
Okay, so this episode then goes into Haruna, Yu, and Seraphine are basically bored at home and they're playing board games. I think they played Jenga, they played Twister. And what is, I can't think of the name, but it's like the Japanese version of chess, I believe.
Mahjong. I think it was
Is
Mahjong.
that
I'm not
what they
sure.
were playing? Was Mahjong?
I'm not, I don't think it was, but that's what it
Or like,
reminded me of.
it
But
could have
yeah.
been like Scrabble that was kind of weird or.
Something, yeah. I don't remember the name. I don't remember what they said for the name, but one thing that might be a little bit different is when they go to play Twister, on the sub version. When they show the Twister board, when they're spinning it, it says Twister. But when they say about playing it, they call it Gekikatsu.
Yep,
So that was a little different.
they did not say that in the dub version for sure. So they're at the house playing board games. And then it basically goes to Ayumu at school. And this is the first time we kind of just see him getting roasted by the sunlight. And he basically looks like a shriveled up piece of jerky. And
So
go
one
ahead.
thing you notice in the school, and maybe this was just me, but he's sitting there with an umbrella, right? So if he can't go out during the day, he can't do anything during the day, but he has an umbrella with him at school. Why doesn't he just use that to leave early?
You know, you think he would. And maybe after that first attack from episode one, that's maybe he didn't carry an umbrella before.
Yeah.
And since that attack in the first episode, he decided, hey, maybe I should carry an umbrella so I can leave at a decent time.
Yeah, maybe.
So he's at school, right? And then we get introduced to another character, Orito, who is basically, I would say, Ayumu's best childhood friend. And yeah, Orito, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, the way they kind of pin him out to be, I would agree with that.
Yep. And so Orito has won bowling tickets. And typical anime fan service, you gotta have that character who just always gets rejected. So he's going around asking all these girls to go bowling with him. He's getting shot down left and right. And eventually he comes up to Ayumu and is like, hey man, I got these bowling tickets. If you want to go with me, it could be a bro job.
I'm gonna use that from now on. Hey man, let's go do so. This is just gonna be a bro job.
Exactly. And Ayumu gets, I would say, embarrassed because some of the girls are listening. So he basically accepts, so Orito will just shut up at this point. And they end up going bowling.
Yeah.
And, you know, typical guy bowling, well, typical teenage guy bowling, they're just having fun, you know, kind of checking out the ladies at the bowling alley.
Of course. That's why you go bowling.
Yep. That's why I would go bowling. Because I am not good at bowling.
You got to take somebody that also says they're terrible at bowling, preferably a girl that you're trying to woo, and just play your heart out. And if you suck enough, you will impress her.
Or I just hit her with the, do you like UFO lines?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to hit her with the UFO line first to get her interested in the bowling.
Yeah, and break dance.
Oh, of course.
So these two are at the bowling alley. Orito's kind of scanning the alley, looking at chicks, and he sees these three really gorgeous girls, right? And Ayumu looks over, and guess who got bored with their board games at home? Because it's Haruna, you, and Seraphin. And something else we haven't really mentioned, Ayumu is basically keeping him being a zombie secret and these girls living with him secret. So Orito basically thinks he's living at home alone. So Ayumu is trying to hide, right?
Yeah.
And Haruna looks over, notices Ayumu, and starts waving, and Orito is like, oh, dude, she's waving at me. And Ayumu is basically like, no, she's not, dude. And then she starts coming over, and Orito is getting super excited. He's like, oh, man, here she comes. And Haruna is like, you answer me when I talk to you. And she's, of course, talking to Ayumu. Because he was ignoring her. And he comes up wearing this mask that he got from a kid's meal lunch, which reminded me of, like, McDonald's. They had the McDonald's logo, kind of. So he comes up and he says, my name's not Ayumu. It's Masked Ayumu. And he's like, God, I'm an idiot. Why'd I use my real name? So they find out he's there. Seraphin and you come over, and They're all bickering. So Boruto basically finds out that all these hotties are living with Ayumu. And he's like, man. Yeah. And Boruto's like, man, I need to move in. So him and Ayumu basically have like a little bowling tournament to see if Boruto can move in. Of course, Ayumu spanks him. I think it was like 240 to like 100 or something.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
So Ayumu wins, and they're all sitting at their lane, kind of just discussing stuff, and Boruto gets a text. And Ayumu is like, oh, who is that? Is it your girlfriend? And Boruto is like, no, just a friend. And basically, so it's his friend Kyoko, right? And she's in the hospital play. So he's going to go see Kyoko in the hospital now. And Ayumu ends up going with Boruto. So they leave for the hospital to go see Kyoko. And from my knowledge, at least just looking at this episode, Kyoko is obsessed with Ayumu. I wouldn't say obsessed as far as like super obsessed anime style obsessed.
Yeah, she just has a thing for him.
Yeah, she has a thing for Ayumu. So they get there, and here is where the title comes in. Boruto's basically like, hey, why aren't you wearing pigtails? And she's like, oh, well, I didn't know I. And she puts her hair up in pigtails. And apparently, from like elementary school, maybe? Elementary school, early middle school? So Kyoko is basically like, do you remember me? And Ayumu basically says no. He doesn't remember and he's sorry. And then Boruto has to leave the room. And before that, so basically Boruto tells Ayumu that she was attacked by the serial killer.
Yeah.
So at this point, Ayumu was like, dang, I need to ask her some questions. So Boruto leaves the room, right? And Ayumu is playing detective now, and he's like, do you remember anything about the killer? You know, what did they look like? All this stuff. And Kyoko says she does. And she basically describes you as being the serial killer. So this leads to Ayumu having doubts about you. Like, if she's a serial killer and she killed him, then why did she bring him back to life? You know?
Yeah.
And then the end of the episode basically just pans back to the house and the girls are outside. Well, Arnu and Seraphine are outside playing badminton, intense badminton. And Yu is just sitting there. I think she's eating a pudding.
Yeah, she's eating the pudding, the last one.
Yep, she's eating the last pudding. And that is basically the recap of the episode. But, so, my thing is, I'm having kind of the same thoughts myself as I perceive Ayumu having. If Yu is the killer, and she killed me, why did she bring me back to life?
You know, my theory on that is she might have already known he was going to die. So all she did was follow him. And this kind of goes back to that question I had for you of, is Kyoko the girl we hear screaming in episode two, where he goes to that flashback.
And see, you know,
in my thinking is, Yu follows Ayumu. She sees him die. She does her spells. She brings him back, but she doesn't either notice or she just doesn't care about Kyoko and just leaves her. So that's why she sees her there. That's my thought on it.
Well, do you see Yu being a killer after also in the second episode she gets so emotional over Haruna using words such as dead, death, die?
Seeing that, I would say no. I don't think she would be the killer. Because it makes no sense to have those feelings for those words, but yet be able to go and kill someone.
But Kyoko literally describes you to a T in the episode. She says, long silver hair, no emotional expression on her face, wearing armor.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think... Here's my theory. So if the girl screaming in episode two is Kyoko, right?
Uh-huh.
What if the killer left, Yu comes in, and she's just there trying to save Ayumu? And that's why Kyoko thinks she's the killer.
Yeah, that could be. The other thing too, and kind of going back to your question of, you know, could you see you being a killer? Maybe Ayumu needed to die. So she got there before the killer could get to him. She killed him, brought him back to life. That's another possibility, but I mean, you know, not one I'm 100% on that, you know, I'm saying this is what it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the series elaborates more.
Yeah, as soon as we get farther in,
we'll
know a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, from what they've shown you in these first three episodes, I'm leaning towards no, she's not the killer. But that little, you know, voice in the back of my head says, maybe, you know, and then starts spouting all these different theories of, well, it could have been this or it could have been that, you know.
Right. Right. And going back to the Megalos at the beginning, you said you had additional comments about the pudding.
Yeah. Where's that pudding poking Haruna?
See, I was looking at the spoon he was holding.
Well, she keeps jumping up like he's poking her somewhere.
Fan service.
I guess.
That's the answer.
But then, kind of second question to that. Wouldn't the easiest way of killing that pudding megalo be just eating it?
You know, that's probably what I would do. I would just eat the pudding.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they didn't go that route because the fan service for somebody eating a pudding megalo would be a little too much.
Or not enough. Did anything else stick out to you in that episode?
So when they're playing, right? They're playing the board games, they're playing Jenga and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the contrast that they show you. So they do their close-up on Seraphin, right? They show her big bosom sticking out at you, you know, this, you know, the fan service that they need to give their audience.
Right.
Then they pan back to Haruna, his little mosquito bites being covered by a t-shirt.
Right.
Like, come on, really?
Yep.
But then again, she's, again, in that episode, in that, that in the moment of playing, she's only wearing a t-shirt. And I don't remember, I didn't pay enough close attention to the bowling scene.
Yeah, but when they were bowling, she had shorts on.
Okay.
So, at least in the English dub version.
I'm sure.
I don't think they changed
too
much in the animation.
Yeah. But one thing that you kind of touched on a little bit, when they go to the bowling alley and they stop off first to eat, I don't know what it says on the English version of it, but on the Japanese version, they show the menu sign, and it's called Mask Donald's.
I'm pretty sure I'd have to go watch that specific scene, but I'm pretty sure it's similar.
So, I don't know if you paid attention to when they're eating, and Orito asks Ayumu, "Hey, why'd you get that mask?" And he goes back to that flashback of the two big, buff wrestlers forcing him to get it. But did you pay attention in the background?
I
The
did.
four girls back there are all going crazy about the masks, and then one of them puts it on and starts like flexing.
All while Uruto is basically saying, girls don't like that stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
And
dude.
all of the girls in the background got, what did they
Oh.
call it? What was the meal called?
Oh.
Did you remember?
I don't remember the name of the meal, but yeah, I just started thinking to myself, I think it would have been really funny if they would have just all of a sudden shown the two girls in the background, the one that gets up and starts flexing, just all of a sudden full on wrestle each other, like climbing the chairs on and jumping on top of each other. Just
It'd
off
be
that
funny
lesson.
if it would have been funny if she came up behind Naruto and just RO or RKO'd him.
Moving ahead to when they're in the bowling alley, right? And we see in the background that the three are back there. And what is it? Orito looks back, sees them, notices them, and his perverted X-ray vision lets him
Oh, yep.
envision what each girl is wearing underneath. Again, fan service at its best right there.
Which, what was it? It was Seraphine in white.
Yep.
Haruna was stripes.
I believe so.
And Yu was a black thong.
Very accurate on that, yes. And I think Orito's voice for you is a little bit more high pitched than Ayumu's voice for you.
So that, I don't know if it says like in the sub version, but and this is kind of, I don't want to say spoiling, but since I've watched obviously more than the first three episodes, each episode in the dub version, Yu is voiced by someone else for the fantasies.
So is it Ayumu's thought of her talking? Is it different people every time? Huh, I didn't know
At least in the dub. I don't know
that.
about the sub.
It honestly might be. It might be the same thing where it's different people, but I'm not sure. I did look up the kind of the cast list on it to see who voiced what, who was on what. And like I said, the voice for Ayumu, that th this was the English voices that they gave me, right? When I looked at the Japanese version, there was maybe one or two animes that I recognized. So, not much. something on the voice of Seraphine, the person who voiced her. So she does voiceover work for one, or did voiceover work for One Piece, High School DxD, Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia, and another anime that you have suggested to me, and I cannot continue watching. My First Girlfriend is a Gal.
You couldn't finish that
No, I that is still only like 2 minutes watched on the episode.
it's so good. It's so funny.
Yeah, but when the episode starts off the way it did, and you're in the middle of work and your phone is blasting through your car speakers in the middle of summer and your windows are rolled down and there's people around you, yeah, you might not want to watch it.
Man. Anime is meant to be enjoyed in the private of your home.
Away from
At
prying eyes.
night,
When everybody's asleep.
when everyone's asleep.
So kind of going back to the anime to finish the recap on it. When they go to the hospital, right? And Orito tells Kyoko to put her hair in pigtails and all that. And of course, you know, she blushes and everything. But when
Right.
it's just Ayumu and Kyoko together, might be different in the English, might not, not sure. But the scene where he starts getting all flushed, you know, and she starts getting close to him.
I think I know where you're going with this.
So
Continue.
there's a very, very interesting line he says that just kind of puts that comedy, fan service, and seriousness all in one for you. He gets close to her. He's looking down. Of course, they give you the fan service of her bosoms. And he says, I'm a little flushed. I'm sorry. He says, I had gotten excited, but not because of her twin pigtails.
Okay,
It's like.
so that makes more sense of why they named it Yes, Hair and Pigtails. Because the dub version, I don't think he says that. I think the only reference to pigtails was her putting her hair in pigtails.
Yeah, I mean
he mentions her breasts, but not I don't think he references the pigtails.
Yeah, so yeah, he references both her breasts and her pigtails. But it's like the line he gives to her goes from him starting off serious, throwing this random sentence in the middle of it, then going back to a serious ending. And if you watch it, you don't pay attention. It just kind of flies right by.
Yep. So my impression, at least, because when I watch anime, I always try to watch the first three episodes to see if I'll actually enjoy it.
Which I think with most, you kind of have to.
Right.
Maybe with some, you have to watch a little bit more than three just to see if it is something that will interest you.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, after rewatching these first three, my impression, yeah, I would definitely recommend it to other viewers, at least if they're fans of the more fan service style of anime.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It is a little fan service heavy. But I think, well, depending on what anime you watch, because I mean, if you go watch Gundam, you're not going to get fan service.
Right.
You know?
And it's not the fan service like you would get from, I'm just going to say, High School DD. Because obviously,
that is
High
a
School
very
DD
different.
Has nudity. Is a Zombie does not. It's just fan service.
Yeah.
It's more like if you've watched Rosario plus Vampire or Rosario Vampire.
You know, very, very
it's
funny
like
that,
that
you would say that. When we first started talking about getting this podcast. When we first talked about getting this podcast together, I started, you know, doing some research, seeing if there were any other podcasts similar to what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across, what was the name of it? I can't remember the name of it. I'll try to look it up. But it was an anime where, or a podcast where basically one guy is explaining an anime to his friend and kind of, you know, walking him through the episode, kind of recapping the anime for him and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the first episode that they have is of Rosario Vampire. So,
yeah.
You know, somewhat similar to what we're doing, but the only difference, of course, is we've both seen this anime.
Right.
You know, I'm sure when we get to the point to where one of us has seen one, the other one hasn't, and maybe at that point, we watch it and talk about it. You know, maybe the person who has seen it can give a little bit more insight to what it might be, things like that. But, you know, so similarities here and there to it. But yeah, a lot of these English, the English cast, like I said, Aikawa and Seraphine's voice has made appearances in two animes that you recommended for me. That kind of makes me want to watch them now in English to see what it's like.
Yeah, so how was the Japanese voice actors and actresses, like, emotion? As far as, like, how I mentioned, you know, Ayumu, his inner monologue's kind of monotoned.
Yeah. I would definitely say he's somewhat monotone in the Japanese one as well, but there are some points where he has a little bit more inflection in his voice, a little bit more emotion here and there. Okay. Like when he meets you for the first time and he's breakdancing and all that for her, like his voice sounds more bubbly, more happy.
Yeah, so I think the English version captured that. Like I said, it's just his inner voice.
Kind of
monologued.
Yeah, is it same in the Japanese? The inner voice is a little bit more just monotone throughout, kind of getting his point across of what he's thinking and moving on.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I know you've seen a couple more animes than I have. But I think at some point we're gonna have to do High School DD.
Oh, High School DD. Funny you say that. Obviously I'm on my desktop.
Yep.
And my backgrounds change and my waifu from High School DD just popped up.
See, it's a sign. It's a sign. It's saying, hey, watch me and do a recap.
You know, I might have to just give little Aussie a shout out.
There's an anime that we'll watch at some point. And it's basically about a group of loners. It's a school set, you know, kind of comedy harem type of anime. And there is, if you are a fan of fan service, and depending on, you know, what kind of listeners decide to tune in, if they're more interested in fan service, there will be some animes that have a lot more fan service in them. Then I would say this one, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate the fan service on this?
Or is this a zombie?
Yeah.
I mean, just going on other things I've seen, because I've seen some heavy fan service anime, I'd say it's probably a little bit toner than the other ones, so I'd probably put it, we'll say middle of the pack, like a 5.
I'm there with you. I was thinking 5 as well. Yeah. There are some other ones that, yeah, like I said, are way heavier. This one throws fan service at you at random points, you know, throughout, but they also kind of disguise it with, like I said, with like random fights here and there or quick bit of fan service, but then back to the seriousness of the show.
Right.
So, yeah, I would agree with your recap of these three episodes. You know, definitely something I would recommend. Overall, you know, it's a funny anime. Something definitely that has a little bit of everything for everyone. Nothing too heavy on one end. So keep in mind, though, I think some of the fan service ramps up a little bit farther in. Not sure.
I guess they'll have to tune in to find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Thanks everyone who decided to listen.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us rant and rave about how much fan service is enough. And
definitely get into more.
Yes, that is a positive and a given.
And I think right now we're looking to release one podcast weekly on 3-episode increments. Depending on how big this becomes, it could be more, it might be less, but we'll kind of just wait and see what the feedback is.
Yeah, depending on that, definitely, yeah, it might be a little bit more, I think given with, and I'll be honest with you, I decided that this would be a good anime to do just because of the death theme to it, I guess, being that we are in October, Halloween is coming up. I thought, hey, this is a good light, not super heavy, death anime, but it has some good action, some good, horror in it. I thought this would be good. But yeah, depending on feedback, depending on what everybody thinks, we will definitely either keep going with this or swap it out to something else.
And your feedback is appreciated. If you want to hear about different stuff, or
if there's an anime that we haven't seen that,
right,
we should cover. Definitely,
right.
Let us know.
But thanks again, everyone, for listening. I think this is kind of wrapping up our first podcast,
first episode. And yeah, I think we will see you guys next week when we do episode 2,
which covers episode 4, 5, and 6 of the anime.
What are those episodes? Should we give the titles, or should we let them wait?
I think we should wait.
I agree. If you guys want to hear the next 3 episodes, tune on in next week. And yeah. Until then, Sid, Mr. Jacob,
Eduardo.
That was backwards. Is all help?
Well, not if we're in Japan.
Exactly. Let's just all pretend we're in Japan right now. All right, buddy. Well, until next time, hope you guys have fun watching these 3 episodes. Thank you for tuning in and hearing us discuss these. I'm sure we didn't do them the service that they needed, but if you guys want more, tune in next week. And guys, we'll see you then.